right, good evening. You take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this night. We thank you for the blessings that were shared. We thank you for what you're doing in each life. And we pray, Father, for your blessing on this time that we have together as we look into your word. I pray, as always, that you'd give me the very words to preach, Father. I pray that you would give us ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that we wouldn't be just hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish this week in each of our lives. And right now, we want to turn our attention from all the things that distract us to your word. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in verses 15 through 20, as we'll be seeing, one component in the heresy was threatening the Colossian church was the denial of the deity of Christ. One thing you'll notice if you happen to pick up what I call the perversions of the Word of God, you'll notice that they all have the same thing in mind, eliminating the deity of Christ, every one of them. And this was a problem. They were denying the deity of Christ. Paul combats that element of heresy with an emphatic defense of Christ's deity. Jesus Christ is God himself in the flesh. I don't care what people want to say. I don't care what they want to believe. The truth is the truth, and it's not going to change. Jesus Christ is God, came here in the flesh to save sinners. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is God. Had he not been God, he wouldn't be able to die in our place. Had he not been God, any death that he might die would be for his own self. But because he is God, he could come and die in our place that we all could have eternal life. So Christ's preeminence in creation is in verses 15 through 17. Christ, who is the image, the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He is the manifestation. This is a powerful statement of the deity of Christ. Very powerful. Jesus is the visible manifestation of God on earth. We talk to people, and from time to time we hear, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in that Jesus guy. Well, what God do you believe in? Because if you take Jesus out of the equation, you don't know the one and only true God. You're only going to come to the one and only true God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. So you can't remove the deity of Christ. This word image means an exact representation and revelation of God. Jesus is the full and final revelation of God. Look at Hebrews 1, 2. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. We Wait a minute. Make that verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the perfect image, the exact likeness of God, and is in every form God. And let me add this, he has been from eternity past all the way through eternity future. It will never change. He is God. Philippians, just back one book to chapter 2 and verse 6. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's the only one that could be equal with God, because he is God. Yeah. Satan thought he would be equal with God, and that didn't work for him. Jesus knows he's equal with God. It works for him because he is. In John 1:14, here's a very familiar passage. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. Jesus is the Word. That Word became flesh. He took on the form of a human body and walked this earth. Jesus made it clear in John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? See, there's people that they just don't get it. You're not getting to the Father without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is part of the Trinity of God. You're not going to get there without understanding that Jesus is God. So by describing Jesus in this manner, Paul emphasizes that he is both the representation and manifestation of God. Thus he is God, fully God, in every way. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Bible records for us, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Paul makes the point to the Gnostics and legalists, one can only be spiritual through Jesus Christ, not through secret mystical knowledge or through strict observance of the law. I was having a conversation this week, and I said, it's interesting, I get in a lot of trouble because when people tell me, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, and I tell them to name them, it gets real quiet. And then I have to ask the question, because I have zero tact, if you're keeping the Ten Commandments and you can't name them, how can you keep them? And then I have to go on to explain that they were given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ because we can't keep them. And usually that ends the conversation because they want to believe that they're keeping something that they can't keep. because somebody somewhere in their life told them that they had to keep the Ten Commandments. The truth shall make you free. We have to know the truth so we can be free. So Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn here signifies two things. The first one, temporal priority. As the firstborn child in a family is born before his brother and sisters, similarly, Christ existed before creation. He existed before the universe was created. He is the creator. Therefore, he had to exist before creation. Two, positional priority. The firstborn in a family was customarily accorded more honor, greater authority, or large share of the inheritance, and so held a privileged position supreme over the universe. Therefore, when Paul declares Christ to be the firstborn of every creature, the apostle does not mean that he is the first person whom God created. Paul instead means that Christ is earlier than, as well as preeminent, in all creation. He is before all. This passage is twisted by the Jehovah Witnesses into meaning that Jesus was the first created being, and that's not true. I can tell you flat out, I can take any scripture that you want to bring up here, and I can take it and twist it to mean something it does not mean. I will answer to God for that. But I can do that. I don't want to do that because I don't want to have to answer to God for it. Some don't have a problem twisting it to make their position backed up with their twisted part of the gospel. In order to do this, they ignore the clear statement in verse 16 that Christ created all things. All things. Unless he created himself, which is logically absurd, then he could not have created all things if he were himself created. The clear point of this passage is that Jesus is the Creator God, not that he was created. And again, as I said, they can twist things and turn things, but how do you get by other scripture that talks about it differently? You can't. So you can't take bits and pieces of scripture that you like, discard the stuff you don't like, and try to make sense out of it. You've got to keep it all together and leave it in context. In order to uphold their twisted interpretation of this passage, they add the word other to this passage six times in order to say that Jesus created all other things. The word other is not in the Greek text. Again, as I said, you can go get any perversion of the Word of God you want, and they're going to have different stuff in it. And as I've said many times, things that are different cannot be the same. Look at Revelation 22:18. Revelation 22:18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." I have brought that to the attention of some people that used to come to my house and don't come anymore. My house has the plague or something, they won't come anymore. But I brought that to their attention. You can't add to or take away from unless you want God to add the plagues from the book to your life. Oh, no, that's not what that means. Yes, it is. It's exactly what it means. But see, they're brainwashed into believing a lie. The truth is the truth, regardless what you want to believe. And let me just say this. One day, every single human being is going to stand before Almighty God and give an account. they're going to have to give an account. Then the term firstborn simply means that Christ precedes and is sovereign over all creation. A proper understanding of this passage requires an understanding of the term firstborn as it was understood in biblical times, as opposed to a modern interpretation of the word. It's funny, we were talking about modern interpretations of words this morning, during the break this morning, and then after the morning service was over, and we were hanging out and talking about some stuff, and I said, it's amazing all the different modern interpretations of words, and people will read through the Word of God, and they'll say, oh, I know what that means. You know what it means based on what it means today. You got to go back and find out what it meant then. Not today, because a lot of these words are not the same. I'll give you one, for instance, that I shared this morning, is when God told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth, we think of replenishing as a shelf that was full, it's now empty, and I have to fill it again. That's not what it means. In the Bible, replenish there means fill. Not refill, but fill. He told them to go fill the earth. But see, if you just take what you know today and apply it to what the Word of God says, it's going to send you on all kinds of paths that are the wrong direction. You got to know what the word means in biblical times so that we know what they were saying, not what we think they were saying. Today, firstborn simply means the one who was born first. In biblical times, the one who carried the rank of firstborn was the one who had dominion over his father's house and inheritance. Christ is here being called the Lord of creation. The word firstborn is the word protokos, and it means foremost in time and place, before beginning, first begotten. It is a reference to the highest priority of position, speaking not as much of time as of title. The absolute certainty of the biblical fact that the biblical term firstborn does not necessarily refer to being born first is demonstrated in, and turn to Psalm 89:27. Psalm 89:27 says, also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. About 1 Samuel 16:11. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Here it is referred to as Jesse's youngest son. This is therefore a position of authority which can be conferred, not merely a reference to birth order. Jacob also stole this honor and position from Esau. Therefore, this passage simply means that Christ existed prior to creation and that he has a sovereign authority over it. He is the creator. Obviously, he has sovereign authority over his creation. This one scripture lets us know that Jesus is the image of his Father. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. And again, if you want to read the perversions of the Word of God, you can go out and find some that tell you that you cannot be a child of God. But thank God we can be, because the true Word of God says that we can. You and I can be children of God through adoption. Adopted into the family of God. Jesus is Creator God. We are His creation. The Spirit of God hovered over Mary, and she conceived of the Spirit of God. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Christians are the sons of God, having been purchased for the Father with the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood so that we could be reconciled to God the Father. We can be adopted into the family of God by accepting that free gift of eternal life. And then Christ is the creator of all things. Look at Colossians 1, verse 16. It says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, these are various categories of angels whom Christ created and rules over. There is no comment regarding whether they are holy or fallen, since He is Lord over both groups. The false teachers had incorporated into their heresy the worship of angels, including the lie that Jesus was one of them, merely a spirit created by God and inferior to Him. Paul rejected that, and he made it perfectly clear that angels, whatever their rank, whether holy or fallen, are mere creatures. And their creator is none other than the preeminent one, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21. Says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." And then also look at 1 Peter 3:22. First Peter 3:22 says, "Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him." All things were created by Him and for Him. As God, Jesus created the material and spiritual universe for His pleasure and His glory. This verse provides the reason Christ is called the firstborn from verse 15. Paul's rationale is that since by Him were all things created, then Christ must have existed before the universe, and He must be greater than all He made. Thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, these all refer to angelic beings. And then thrones are referring to angels who sit on thrones as rulers. Dominions, these refer to domains or kingdoms over which these heavenly beings reign. Principalities refers to rulers. Powers, this refers to angelic monarchs who wield regal power. Since Christ created these various ranks of angels, He is supreme over them, striking a blow at the Colossian heresy, advocating angel worship. There's a lot of people who worship angels. You can go places and people have statues of angels in their yard, statues of angels in their houses, and they worship them. That's idol worship, by the way. We need to be careful not to worship angels. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. It forbids, that text alone forbids Christians to pay homage to angels or other heavenly beings created by God. As I've said before, the one we call Jesus, who was the Word of God in heaven, is Creator God. He's the only one that deserves our glory, honor, and praise. The only one. Then look at John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How do they get past that? And yet, they try. It's not going to get them anywhere when they stand before Almighty God. But they try. The universe and everything in it was created by God. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke things into existence. Everything was created by him. This passage clearly refutes the Gnostic idea of a series of created angelic emanations from God that last, the last of which finally created the material world. This is another clear statement of the deity of Christ, for only God can be called the Creator. In fact, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Very clear. This passage adds that all things were not only created by him, but also for him. The next verse tells us why he created them. Look at Revelation 4:11. I'm out of time. We'll finish this little bit here and then we'll be done. 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is spirit, so we can see that it would not be just the things we can see with our physical eyes that he created. Actually, man is a spirit. We are made in the image of God, and if God is spirit, then we are spirit. We live in a house of flesh, but the real person within that flesh is spirit. We could get into a deep study here on the fact that all things that exist are actually existing in his power. He gave all things, whether visible or invisible, the power to be. It is the Lord who really decides who will be president or king. I mentioned that this morning too. He's the one that sets them in place. This is one reason we must respect the office. Sometimes we cannot respect the office holder, but we must respect the office. It is a creation of the Word of God. All existence was in him from the beginning. The purposes of God are sometimes carried through by those he has given power and authority on the earth. All right, we're going to end there, and we have business meeting tonight.